Good evening and welcome to the Two Games, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Jeremy J. Monster Fowler, and with me is my good friend and co-host, man with the plan, man who doesn't like spam, Matt the Leechman Leech.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. Got me heating on again because it's fucking freezing.
We have too. It's been -6 here last few days.
Yeah, I think it got down to -7 here last night. Apparently you get the same again tonight, but we'll see. You know, we'll have a good British winter, don't we?
Yeah, we've still got snow and ice here. I'm hoping it'll just go away soon, but anyway, it's not the weather podcast, so probably shouldn't dwell too much on all that.
Yeah, well, as a British, we like to talk about the weather. Okay.
Fair enough. We just decided to start a gaming podcast. As the title leads you to believe, we don't discriminate, we play on everything. So that's PlayStation 5, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. Neither of us really do PC, that's about the only thing we don't do, although you do dabble a little bit, don't you?
A little bit.
I don't do PC at all in the slightest. We're just going to talk about games that we like and we're playing, things like that. Each week. So I think we're going to start off with gaming news.
Yeah.
Do you want to start off with the first thing that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so first thing I've got here is Assassin's Creed Shadow delayed again. So looks like Ubisoft are going to take some more time. Game delays are a funny thing, really. You want to play the game, but then you also don't mind too much that they delay it, as long as the delay is worthwhile. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Look at Cyberpunk 2077. That should not have been released in the state that it was in. And it already delayed.
It needed more delays and it'd been delayed already.
Yeah, it'd already been delayed like 3 or 4 times at that point, I think. So this has been delayed twice, I think, or 3 times. Not 100% sure. But yeah, it's been delayed to March the 20th from what was February the 14th, I think. So at least it'll make anybody who had plans on Valentine's Day happy. So obviously it's not you and me, is it? We don't give a shit about
no.
that. So yeah, it's been delayed. I am looking forward to it. I just hope they've learned some lessons from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which was a good game, but it was so bloated. Like I did get the platinum, obviously. it took me like 180 hours to get the platinum. It's just insane. The game was so big, it was massive. You didn't think it would be that big, but it was like, I think it was like almost, it seemed like it was twice the size of Odyssey. And Odyssey was a big game.
I think everyone I've heard talk about Valhalla has mentioned how bloated it is.
Yeah, so bloated. Don't get me wrong, it was good. You could play, I like that you could make the main character either male or female, like you could in Odyssey. That was a good touch. This one, you can play as two separate characters. I don't know if you can actually play through the whole game as separate characters or if you switch between them. I'm not 100% sure, but I am looking forward to it. Yeah, it's been delayed. You know, gives them more time to work on all the bugs that we know Ubisoft are famous for. So, yeah. And I've got a little bit of news, which I thought was quite interesting. It's a random bit of news. The Elder Scrolls 6 was announced 2,405 days ago, which comes to 6 years, 7 months, and 5 days. So that was up on Push Square, if you want to see the article. And that's how old Elder Scrolls 5 was when 6 was announced. So that was quite a bit of a random bit of news, but I thought it was quite funny. Hopefully it'll launch sometime in the next 5 years. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Xbox only, though. Xbox and PC, I'm guessing. Although, Microsoft are changing their approach, aren't they? They're like, everything is an Xbox. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's the whole marketing.
You know, your microwave's an Xbox. Your washing machine's an Xbox. Your toaster's an Xbox.
Your phone. PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Everything's an Xbox, apparently, according to Microsoft.
Apparently. So who knows? Maybe it will come to PS5 or PS6. It probably will by the time it comes out.
Possibly. I think the next sort of step in there, putting their exclusives onto other things, is Halo, whatever number they're up to now, going to be on PS5?
No, it's possible. It could happen, couldn't it?
And that was that Capcom announced that the beta test for Monster Hunter Wilds. There's two sets of dates. The first beta, the PlayStation had like the exclusive for the first few days. So if you were Xbox or PC, you couldn't join in until a bit later. But this time, I think it's all three platforms that it's on, get them both at the same time. So it starts on February 7th and runs until the 10th. And then the second batch is between February 14th until the 17th on either PS5, Xbox Series, or Steam.
That's cool.
So I'll be getting involved in that. There's at least one monster who's a returning one from back in the day that's been added to the second beta that wasn't in the first beta. And any chance to play a game that I'm very much looking forward to, I will take that opportunity.
Are you playing it on PS5?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never played a Monster Hunter game. It's strange that I haven't, but just never. But I remember, didn't one come out on the DS?
Yeah, the 3DS.
Yeah, a long time ago. Like, I want to say more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Right, so without wanting to go on about Monster Hunter for too long, Cry was the Wii version, which didn't have G-Rank, and G-Rank has been renamed Master Rank these days. It's like the top difficulty in the game. And they release Ultimate Editions, which have the Master Rank included in to a game that they've already done before, or they were doing at that point anyway. And so 3U was the Ultimate Edition of Try, and it released, I think, on the 3DS first, and then was released on the Wii U.
Right, okay.
So that's probably what you were thinking of.
Yeah.
And then there was 4U, was a 3DS exclusive.
Right.
That was the last one technically before World, which is Monster Hunter 5, and then Wilds is technically Monster Hunter 6.
Yeah. Because that's what I think I first remember hearing about this Monster Hunter games or franchise. I was like, what is this? And then I saw it was on the DS. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll play it on DS, and never did. I always associate it with DS in the back of my mind.
I mean, it properly started to gain traction from Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, which was PSP. And that was actually before the Wii version. I started on the Wii with Try and then went backwards to Freedom Unite. And a lot of people who were big on Freedom Unite didn't like the Wii version because it was cut down, less monsters. They added all the monsters back in for 3U when they did the Ultimate Edition. But yeah, a lot of the diehards who were properly into the PSP version weren't into the Wii version. But because the PSP's only got one stick, it also made you have to do the claw, because you needed to use the D-pad to control the camera. So you had to do the claw. I'm jesting, like the listeners can hear me. your left hand, you basically had to use the wrong sides of your fingers on the D-pad to move the camera around, which if you try it. But anyway, so two more chances to try the beta before the full game releases at the end of February. And that's about all I've got for news this week.
Okay, all right.
Still no Switch 2.
No, maybe next week. Need to announce it soon, don't they? Well, we want them to announce it soon.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do it when they're good and ready, but...
Sooner than later, because considering how many leaks are out there, and there's that Digital Foundry article that's come out where they basically detail the majority of the specs and stuff. So pretty much all of the information out there, and they've just not announced the flipping thing.
Yeah. It's just tell us already, you know, how much is it going to be? When do pre-orders go live? All these things that we want to know.
Like, what's it called? When's it releasing?
Yeah. Talking about Switch, I watched a Nintendo YouTube ad on their channel. Mm-hmm. All the Donkey Kong Country games.
Oh yeah,
so they're all going to be available on Switch, including a HD remake of Donkey Kong Country. God, which one is it?
Oh, it's the Wii version.
Donkey Kong Country Returns HD.
There you go. You got there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually be the third time it came out on the Wii. Then they re-released it on the 3DS. And then this is the third time.
Nintendo like to milk a franchise, don't they? Look at Mario Kart.
Oh, they do.
8 Deluxe, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Mario Kart 9, please. So that's inspired me to maybe go and replay Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, because I never played 3.
I didn't really like 3. So
I never played 3.
There's a decent argument that 2 is better than 1.
2 is pretty good.
Even though you don't get to actually play as Donkey. I know some people had problems with that, but you stuck with Diddy and this girl. What's that all about?
Daisy Kong, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Dixie, maybe?
Dixie Kong, maybe? Daisy or Dixie, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just one of those big, it's another D, anyway. Because I think in the first game, you're just trying to get your bananas back. In the second game, you're trying to rescue Donkey, and that's why you don't get to play as him. And in the third game, you're trying to rescue both Donkey and Diddy. And so you play as the girl again and a baby.
Isn't there like a crocodile as well or something in there? I'm not sure. I can't remember. Like I said, I didn't play 3. So
I did play 3, but I never owned that one. I think I only owned the first one back in the day. And my next door neighbor had 2. And we would spend quite a bit of time together because we both had Super Nintendo. So I think he came around to play the original game round at mine quite a lot. And then when he got 2, I went round his and we finished 2, I think, round at his. But this is like, I was probably, 13 or 14 at the time? It was a long time ago. Yeah. And then all 3 games are on NSO now. So that ties into all of them being on Switch. And then Tropical Freeze, I've got the Wii U version. Played it for about half an hour. Bloody hell, this is hard. Forgot how hard these Donkey Country games.
Brutal. That Tropical Freeze is brutal.
And apparently the Switch version has added in, what was his name? The surf dude.
God, what's his name? I know what you mean.
He's in some of the Mario Karts as well.
I want to say Dylan, but I don't think it is.
No, it's another D, but I can't remember what. But didn't he allow you to fast travel or something in the first game?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
he added in Tropical Freeze, and apparently he makes it ever so slightly easier than the version I've got.
Yeah,
so he's not in my one. So that would make it slightly more accessible.
Yeah, I mean they're good games. I've been thinking about buying Donkey Kong Country Returns HD and playing it. Although. Mm-hmm. Really, I should break out Super Mario Wonder because my daughter bought me for Christmas 2023 and I haven't played it yet.
Oh, wow, that's really good. So me and the flatmate played that together, played through the whole game co-op because it's got, you can play all 4 player if you've got enough people. And I think we finished it in the course of a weekend because it's not the biggest, Mario games aren't enormous. But also didn't realize that because I picked Mario and he picked Yoshi and he played through the whole game with Yoshi and he was basically playing on easy mode because Yoshi and one other character, I forget his name, is it Nabbit? Something like that. Yeah, so I think Nabbit and Yoshi are basically easy mode because they can't die.
Right, so basically, just keep going.
Yeah, he hadn't realized that he was playing it on easy mode till we got about halfway through when we realized that he hadn't died once and we looked at it and was like, oh, it's because Yoshi can't die. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's good. I'd say it's definitely worth playing if you like old school Mario. It's probably the best 2D Mario game they've done for 20 years.
Cool.
Probably the best one since Mario World.
Yeah, I'll have to play it because I do like a good Mario game. I really liked Mario, Super Mario Galaxy, and I played Mario Galaxy 2 and I liked Super Mario Odyssey. I know they're all 3D ones, but the 2D side-scrolling ones, I've always enjoyed all of them, like New Super Mario Brothers Wii. Do you remember that?
Yeah, so there's New Super Mario Brothers is on multiple different things. Like I got the first one on DS and really loved that at the time. And then there was Wii and then Wii U and then Super Luigi U, which has got a much smaller time limit. So you have to basically speed run the whole game.
Wow.
And I think the new inverted commas Mario games had started to get a little bit tired, which is why Wonder is a bit more out there. Like Wonder's worth playing just for the surprise element of things that are going to happen that you aren't expecting. I'm not spoiling it for you, but we'll come back when we're doing what you've been playing and you've actually been playing that. You can, I'm sure, come back and talk about your experience in that one, because it's definitely worth experiencing.
Yeah, I am thinking about breaking it out after I've finished what I've been doing this week, which leads us nicely into what we've been playing, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, so since last time we spoke, I have finished Mass Effect 2. I've managed to get the No One Gets Left Behind achievement, which I played through all three Mass Effect Edition when they first came out on PS5. When I finished 2, I made a bad decision in the suicide mission, and one of the characters died. So I didn't get the No One Gets Left Behind trophy last time round.
Right.
So I was very much on it to make sure that didn't happen again this time, because the character that died is one that has got a really good payoff in 3. And of course, I didn't have that last time round. You just replaced the same. So I was happy that I finished it and got that Chivo. And then I've moved on to Mass Effect 3. Although I'm only just very much at the beginning part of the moment. But I was having debates with guys I'm in group chat with. They reckon that 3 is the worst of the trilogy. And I don't. 2 is the best. 3 overall a better game than 1, despite the ending. Just the presentation and the music and the actual gameplay feeling less stiff. And I'm also not having to deal with a fucking Mako. Even the language. To me, adds up to 3 being a better game overall than 1. Where do you stand on the Mass Effect trilogy, the order of... I'm guessing you're going to say 2 is the best of the 3, same as me.
Yeah, I enjoyed 2 the most, because I played the original... I'm not talking about the remastered versions now. I'm talking about the original versions now.
Yeah, on 360.
Yeah, on 360. I didn't play 2 on 360. I've moved on to PS3 by then, so I waited till it came out on PS3. Then I played that through on PS3. And then I played Mass Effect 3 on PS3 as well.
Right.
So my original experience was 2 was the most enjoyable, the best quote-unquote best one, with 3 probably being the next best one, and 1, well, I don't know, it's a toss-up between 1 and 3. Probably 2, 1, 3. Yeah, I'll go with that. Purely right. Because I think at the time there was such this big thing made about, oh, the choices you've made in the previous 2 games will determine the ending of the 3rd game, which didn't really turn out to be true. It kind of did, but not really. So I think a lot of people were upset about that.
Yeah.
I wasn't again, that bothered about that.
Spoilers warning here. Yeah. I know it's over a decade, year old game at this point, but skip forward like 3 or 4 minutes. So the ending of 3, people were upset which color you chose, and then they weren't happy in the original ending. Some of the cutscene wasn't detailed enough and left you with questions, or more questions than answers. But they fixed all that in the free DLC in the original version, and that ending is the ending they give you in the remaster. So I'm not really fussed about the ending myself. It was a case of it's more about the journey than the destination anyway. But yeah, the ending was never really a big issue to me.
No, me neither. But 3, I played the remastered versions. I played all of 1, all of 2. I nearly got the platinum for 2, I think, but I got distracted. And I started playing 3, and I got like half an hour into it, maybe an hour, and I haven't gone back to it.
So I think I almost got the platinum for 3 on PlayStation first time round. I think I'm 2 trophies away. One of them is in that simulator thing. Remember that you find on one of the planets?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have to kill a spectre level enemy or something.
That's right. Yeah, I remember. And
the other one is to do with the war effort thing. And I basically realized that although I finished the game, I was going to have to do another playthrough of 3 to get that other trophy.
Ugh.
So I just done 30 hours to finish all 3 of them, and I was just very much enjoying my replay at that point, but doing another playthrough of it again, especially because like the highest difficulty level in the game that you can do at the beginning, I think you have to have beaten the game on, is it hardcore, which is
something
second
like
highest
that.
Difficulty. Yeah, so you've got like, I think you've got like normal, hard, insanity, and insanity's not even available until you've beaten it. And my insanity playthrough on 360 took me literally 6 months. It was a Dark Souls game. So having done that, I think there might be a trophy in there. I can't remember if there was. Maybe there's not in the Legendary Edition, but I think the original version of 3, there would be a trophy in there for the Insanity Edition, Insanity Difficulty. I wouldn't do it again. I'm glad that I did it back in the day, but I wouldn't put myself through it again.
Fair point.
And what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, after we last spoke, I decided it would be a good idea to go and get the Platinum for Banisher's Ghosts of New Eden.
Right.
I don't know why I decided that, but in my brain, that's what I decided. So that's what I've been doing. There might be a
few. I've got another friend who's playing this at the moment for the first time, just trying to finish it, never mind getting the Platinum. And I think he's struggling to even get to the end of the game. Something about the map or something?
Yeah, it is. The actual game on normal difficulty is quite hard. The previous game they made, well, I say previous game they made, it's a few years ago now, Vampire, that was quite hard. On just the normal, Vampire. It was quite hard. So they are known for like making games like that hard, just on normal difficulty. So, I have been playing on the easiest difficulty to get the trophies. I'm not make no bones about that. You know, because I'd already completed the game on normal, and that was hard. So yeah, there might be a few spoilers coming up for this game. So. Apologies to anybody who's playing
again, skip forward
and listen to this.
Yes, if you bothered about spoilers for Banishers, was it something of Eden?
Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden.
Ghosts of New Eden, there you go.
So skip forward if you don't want to hear spoilers, because there might be a few. I've basically been playing it all week since we last spoke. I had to play through the game a second time to get... Well, what I did was I broke it up into sections. I got to, there's a point of no return near the end of the game where basically it opens up something called the Void. And the Void is like another dimension where Red and Taya, who are the main characters, can travel to. Mm-hmm. It gets to that point there where you go to a specific opening to the Void, and the game actually tells you this is the point of no return. If you go through this, it's the end of the game, and you won't be able to come back unless you reload a previous save. So you know, it's like
a little bit like the suicide mission that I was doing at the end of Mass Effect 2, or going to get the IFF before that, because I think that sets off like a internal timer, and you have like enough time to do one more mission. So you go and do his loyalty mission to make sure he's loyal for the suicide mission, and then after that, you're basically done.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. You just have to, if you want to do anything else, then you have to, and that's what I did. Through the second playthrough, I got to the point of no return, and then there's something called haunting cases, which are like side missions.
Yeah.
And one of the trophies is you have to do all of them.
Oh, wow.
And it also affects the end of the game as well, because there's two endings to the game. There's a game, well, there's actually three endings. There's one ending where you can revive Antea. She dies at the beginning of the game, and you can revive her at the end. And you do that by basically murdering people. And you do it.
They did similar in Vampire, didn't they? Where you had to decide about which people and which people you weren't, because you need them for X, Y, and Z.
Exactly, same kind of thing. So I've done that playthrough. I've done all the haunting cases, and then I went and found all the collectibles, which took ages. And then I went and found, what else did I do? I had to upgrade all the equipment to the top tier level. I had to get to level 25, which is the highest level that you can get to. And you have to do that by basically doing practically almost everything. You don't have to do everything 100%, but you have to be near it. Mm-hmm. And last night, I did all the combat trophies last night, which I've only got 3 trophies left now. So three trophies left where I've got to ascend Antea. I've got to find 15 Bibles for a specific character, which means I'm going to have to do half a playthrough again. I've got to do all the haunting cases again, but instead of murdering people, I've got to banish or ascend the ghosts, and that gets me the other ending, which is the second trophy that I need to get. And then the third trophy that I need to get is... What's the third trophy? I have to do something specific else, I can't remember. But basically, once I get those 3 trophies, I'll have a platinum, and then I'm done with the game.
Nice.
And then I'll move on to the next game, which is probably going to be Super Mario Brothers Wonder, I think. Yeah, I think the Switch deserves a bit of love, because I've not really played on it since properly since I did Metroid Prime Remastered.
So I think, trying to think, it's like between, I think, 12 to 14 hours. Mike and I didn't 100% it. So if you're bothered about that kind of thing, about you getting every single collectible, but we literally just played because like maybe two or three sessions to finish the whole thing over the course of a weekend.
I mean, but we both, because there's no trophies on Switch, I don't know if I'm bothered about 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was rumors a while ago that Nintendo were going to introduce their own version and call them accomplishments.
That sounds
and that was in, yeah, that was in the Wii U days. But it never came to pass. And I think I've heard a Miyamoto quote, so that's probably why it didn't happen. If Miyamoto is not interested, doesn't generally happen.
Yeah.
As far as Nintendo's concerned.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing. And oh, cool. I'll be my aim tomorrow is to get the platinum and be done with the game. So because I've nice. played enough of it now. I've played nearly 80 hours of it at this point.
Wow. Okay.
Which is a lot of hours.
A decent amount for what's probably like what, a 25-hour game?
25, 30 hour probably. Yeah. One playthrough if you just mainlined it, which is what I did the first time.
You mentioned three endings. I'm guessing you've got one already.
Yeah, the very first ending I got is where if you don't do enough of the haunting cases, instead of resurrecting Antea or ascending her, you end up in a time loop where you go back to the beginning of the game.
Oh, wow. One of them.
Yeah, when I got that ending, I was like, what?
Yeah, like, oh, thanks, game.
So, yeah, but, you know, I think the best ending or the good ending is supposed to be that you ascend her. The bad ending is that you resurrect her, because they basically end up dabbling in black magic. And the neutral ending, I suppose, is going back to the beginning of the game. So, yeah.
Right. So my question there was, does that mean you have to do like another playthrough after that to get
if you're going for the platinum specifically, you can do it in 1.5 playthroughs.
You can save scum.
Yeah. Basically. Well, basically what you do is there's a decision about midpoint through the game where you either choose to, because you do it at the beginning of the game, you decide whether to ascend or resurrect Antea quite early on in the game. And then you have to reaffirm that choice about halfway through the game. That is the point where you save it before you make that choice. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back and do another half playthrough, which is one.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't kind of save scum in, but
yeah.
So if you got the game intended just to get the platinum, because what I tend to do with games is, and I've done this for a while, is I'll get a game, I'll play for it. If I like it enough, I sometimes go for the platinum. This one, I completed it back in like May. I wanted something to play and platinum. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I decided to do this one because in my brain it won't take me that long. It's like, there I am a week later, I still haven't got it. But you know, I like getting platinums because it was disgusting.
we should probably mention this since this is the Invertacom's debut episode. So how many platinums have you got, Matt?
I've got 148 platinums.
I've got 5.
Yeah. Doing well. You've got 5.
But of my 5, 3 of them are FromSoft games, so I cling on to that as my badge of honour. But I have to admit, I mean, so no hate for anyone who saves scums. I got my platinum for Elden Ring with one playthrough, and I save scum to get all the ending trophies.
Damn right. If you can do that and get a platinum, why the hell not?
Mm. I mean, I have played it again.
What I did with the platinum for that, because I got it on PS4 and PS5.
Oh, okay.
So what I do the PS4 version and then transfer my save over to the PS5 before I did the thing and then do it again. So I had to actually fight Melania twice in a row.
Oh,
which was fun.
Joys.
But I kind of cheat. Well, I didn't cheat. It's not really cheating. It's just a different way to play the game. I use magic, so she's quite easy to defeat with a high level magic character.
Right. But when you say magic, is that intelligence build?
So pure magic build. I think it is intelligence. Yeah, and you get that spell where you basically project a huge beam out in front of you.
Azure something.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
And you get the one that throws comets at them as well. So that's quite a big one.
So I play Faith in Elden Ring, which is the other type of magic. And I've got all 1,000 achievement points on the Xbox version as well. Played through the DLC twice. Did it by myself, in inverted commas, on the Xbox, and in a team of three of us on the PlayStation on Sunday nights. When I say in inverted commas by myself, I did summon. Like, some of the bosses in the DLC are that hard. I don't know why you wouldn't summon.
There's nothing wrong with summoning. It's part of the game. I don't know why people get on their high horse about it on the internet and go, it's cheating if you summon. No, it's not. It's part of the game.
It's in the game. Like, it's what's his name? It's the director guy, Miyazaki, say that he can't beat most of the bosses in the game without summoning either the ghost summons or real people. So I don't see people from, but there you go. Anyway, so I've delivered things back to Elden Ring for a change.
Yeah, I don't, these people who are like soul purists, quote unquote, you know, oh, I play with just a bare club and loincloth on, and I can beat the game. Congratulations, well done.
Good for you.
I'm not doing that.
All these people who play with a banana or a Guitar Hero controller or something like that, I'm just never going to do that. You're crazy.
Congratulations, you did it. You've impressed me, but I'm not doing that.
No, like people playing it with the dance mat from
Dance Revolution.
Yeah, from back in the day. Yeah. I could never.
There's somebody who played it completely blindfolded as well.
Right.
Well, I don't know why you would, but that's pretty insane, isn't it? So, yeah.
Right. Anyway, should we move on to our next segment?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is Retro Corner. Do you want to go first, or shall I go first for this one?
I'll go first on this one. So there's a game that came out a long time ago when I had my Amstrad CPC 464 made by Lord Sugar. Himself, called Green Beret.
All right.
And it was an arcade game first, and I played the Amstrad version. And basically, it consists of you are a Green Beret from the U.S. Army. I think the Green Berets in the U.S. Army. It's not a UK Army thing. I suppose they're equivalent to the SAS, maybe. SAS is secret. Green Berets aren't, I don't think. Maybe like paratroopers, maybe. Yeah,
more like. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a military guy, but from having friends who were when I was at school, they would go on about how the Americans don't have anyone like the SAS.
Really?
Who's like the same top levels, and I don't know.
I suppose the equivalent is Navy SEALs, but not really. Because the Navy have got the special boat service, SBS, which is the equivalent of the SAS.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, digressing. Green Beret is a side-scrolling hack and slash. Do you use guns in it? Can't remember.
Sure, you must do.
You definitely got a knife.
Right.
I think you can pick up enemy guns. I don't think you have guns yourself. But basically, you progress side-scrolling through levels. And there was like 25 levels or something like that. I might not have been that like. It wasn't a long game at all. The graphics were really good on the Amstrad.
Was very it cut up, was cut Amstrad 8-bit or was it previous to that?
Amstrad was 8-bit, yeah.
Was 8-bit.
Because it came out on Amstrad, Spectrum.
Commodore 64,
yeah. The Apple computer, whatever the Apple computer was at the time. Maybe the Apple II, yeah. They came out on quite a few different, because PC wasn't a thing back then, really. PC gaming, in 86 it came out.
Right.
So I got a copy of it. Did I get it for Christmas? I can't remember if I got it for Christmas. I might have got it for Christmas 86 when I had my Amstrad.
So what did it come on? I'd never had an Amstrad. Was that floppy disks? Or
no, it's tape.
Tape, right, okay.
Amstrad had a built-in tape recorder in the keyboard. You had a keyboard. Right. And then you have the tape deck built into it and put tapes in there. And it had a monitor that came with it as well.
Right, cool.
So, yeah, and you could play it on keyboard or joystick. But, yeah, I enjoyed that game when I played it. I can't remember if I got to the end of it because it got really hard towards the end. And then you had lives in those days in games. You had, like, 4 lives or 5 lives. Mm-hmm. And when all your lives were depleted, then back to the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Try again.
Yeah.
Probably another day because your mum's shouting at you, it's tea time. Turn that ratchet computer off.
Yeah, turn the game off. Well, I'm just near the end. I don't care. Turn it off. Okay, I'll just turn it off and start again next time.
That's how it was, Robin.
Green Beret. Yeah, made by Ocean Games.
Ah, I remember them.
Yeah, they did a lot of games back in the day. So that's my retro corner. What about yours?
Mine is WWF WrestleFest, which is an arcade game made by Technos and published by Tecmo in Europe in 1991. And I was big on wrestling late 80s/early 90s. And this was the game when I would go to arcades. The sprites were very big. It had all the big WWF stars at the time. And I mean, it was a button basher. I'm surprised the arcade machines didn't end up with sticky buttons and such like. But yeah, none of the console wrestling games at the time were a patch on this. And there is a spiritual successor by, I think they're called RetroSoft, called Retromania Wrestling, which is on modern platforms at the moment. And there's adding some DLC characters of some of the characters that were in WrestleFest back in the day. So like Demolition, Legion of Doom, tag teams like that. So yeah, I was a big fan of that game back in the day.
Cool. Yeah, wrestling games, never really played them myself. You know, I think I remember playing Punch-Out on my Amstrad.
On your Amstrad?
Yeah, I think it was an Amstrad version. It might have been Atari. It might have been Atari ST, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds more likely. Mm-hmm. Where it's like ghosted through the, you could punch like.
Yeah, so Punch-Out's a weird one because, I mean, I've not played masses of it. There's Punch-Out on Super Punch-Out, but it's almost like a puzzle game. You have to figure out the pattern for each fighter. So it's like a puzzle game, you know, for that sort of thing. And
I think I did get the final fighter and I did beat it because didn't they rebrand it Mike Tyson's Punch Out when Mike Tyson
was famous. In the US it was Mike Tyson's Punch Out, but it was never Mike Tyson's over here. No. Thankfully.
Yeah, it's just Punch Out.
We won't talk about Mike Tyson a lot, but and then there was Super Punch Out on the Super Nintendo, which I can't remember if I played it back in the day, but it ended up on like the Wii Virtual Console, or it's probably on an SO these days. But it's the kind of thing that I play for like 10 minutes and I'm like, still not the biggest fan of this, so move on.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, wrestling games. Is there any modern wrestling games that you play, like the WWE?
Yeah, well, I don't really tend to play them, but there are modern wrestling games. There's the, isn't it the 2K?
Oh,
the 2K
wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got the WWE license. I'm not really sure how much in the modern games they have like the wrestlers from my era, like whether they got the licenses for, like, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hitman Hart, that kind of thing, or whether it's just the current crop of wrestlers. Because I've got friends who are still into wrestling now, who still watch like the big events like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and stuff like that, and whenever I try and watch modern wrestling, within about 10 minutes I'm bored, had enough. It's just not the same. The characters are not the same as they were, but possibly it's not, it could be that I'm not seven anymore.
Yeah, it could be that as you've got older, you've got more wiser to it.
Yeah, I mean, I can watch the stuff from my era, inverted commas, back in the day, from like what, 88 until about 94. I can still watch that now, but I can't deny that's probably just because of the nostalgia and memories of watching it when I was a kid. And if I didn't have nostalgia for it, I probably couldn't watch it.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Right, so we're moving on to our next segment.
Yeah.
Which is games that we were looking forward to in 2025, brackets and beyond, ? Because who knows whether any of these are actually going to release this year or not.
Wow, exactly. There's already been a cancellation of a game this year. A Transformers game that was announced two years ago, apparently.
Oh, really?
It was supposed to come out this year, or, well, it was supposed to come out soon, and they've cancelled it. They cancelled the whole development of it.
Right.
So,
who's it been developed by? Do you know?
I saw the story on my feeds. I use this thing called Feedly on it's a browser-based thing that I've got, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 RSS feeds that feed into this Feedly app, and it just gives it all in a long list and I can read all the news, so I've always got like loads of news to read.
That's cool. That'll help with our gaming news section if we're doing that every week.
Absolutely, yeah. So this was, who was it developed by? Splash Damage developed it. And they,
I've not heard that.
Today we have some very difficult news to share. The decision has been made to end development Transformers Reactivate. This means we'll be scaling down to refocus our efforts on other projects. Unfortunately, despite every effort, another role has cost the studio now potentially at risk of redundancy. So yeah, basically the development of it must not have been going well, and they've decided to obviously cancel it and lay people off, by the sounds of it, which is never great news when that happens.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. But yeah, as for games and looking forward to this year, no particular order. Assassin's Creed Shadows.
We'll do one each.
I was just going to list them out, and then we can talk about each one if you want.
All right.
Assassin's Creed Shadows, Avowed, Assassin's Fall, Elden Ring, Night Rain, GTA 6, if it releases this year, Ghost of Yotai, and Metroid Prime 4.
Right, so I've got three of your list on my list. So my list is Avowed, Monster Hunter Wilds, Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition, Elden Ring, Night Ring, Metroid Prime 4, Fable, and Judas. So nice. Should we talk about Avowed first?
Yeah, Avowed. This is the one that's developed by the team or the studio that did Fallout New Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah, Obsidian.
Yeah, Obsidian. So it's kind of like a, it looks like a kind of Elder Scrolls type game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's first person, but it's set in the Pillars of Eternity universe, apparently.
That's right, yeah. It definitely looks like a game I'm interested in and going to play.
Yeah, it looks good. Cool. A lot of people are comparing it to Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Right way around. But they've very much come out to distance it and said that it's more like a 35 to 40 hour experience rather than like the 500 hour Skyrim type game. So more compact. But it's got all of your like, you know, your magic and melee and all that kind of thing that you would expect from that kind of game, just on a slightly smaller scale than Skyrim.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. That should be good.
Mm. And it's on Game Pass when it comes out as well.
Yeah.
It does release 2 weeks before the next game on the list. So whether I've got time to finish it in that time or not, we'll see. But I'll give it a go.
Is it coming to all platforms, Avowed, or is it just Xbox?
I think it is on PlayStation as well, but I don't think it'll be coming because PS Plus doesn't get day one releases the same way that
Game Pass does.
So it'll be a pay 70 quid jobby if you want it on PS5, I would have thought.
Probably.
Mm. Such is the joys. What was the next game on your list?
Assassin's Creed Shadows, but I think we've already talked about that, really. We talked about that earlier, so don't really talk about that.
My next one's called Monster Hunter Wilds. Big Monster Hunter fan since 2010, back on the Wii. And I've got a hardcore group of friends who all play it as well, one of which isn't getting Wilds, unfortunately, so he'll be a miss when we get to the release of that. But the rest of them are all going to jump in. It's just you need to have a current-gen console to play it on. It's PS5, Xbox Series, and PC, but he's only got PS4, so he's not going to join in, unfortunately.
I mean, it's time to upgrade. PS4's over 10 years old. Oh, so
Yeah, but he's got a family and such like. I don't think gaming is the biggest priority for him these days, unfortunately. It's very much in a similar sort of mold to World, which was Monster Hunter 5, except this time they're upping the amount of players. So because it's all crossplay this time, you got up to 100 players per lobby or camp, as they seem to be called in the game. And it's all like seamless rather than like I've seen it touted as open world because it doesn't have any loading screens after the title screen. But I'm not sure it's necessarily open world the way that people think of open world games. It's just that it's like all seamless once you're in there and you can make your own base camps out in the wild somewhere. But then also you have to be aware that if you then leave that base camp, a monster could come along and knock it down while you're not there. I mean, you can rebuild it, but that wasn't a thing in the older games. But yeah, that's end of February, and will probably be me for the next, I don't know, 2,000 hours or something.
My Lord.
I think I'm up to about 10,000 hours plus in the Monster Hunter franchise at this point by all the different versions I've played.
Veteran player.
I've played for a while. I'm not Team Darkseid of the YouTubers who are like ridiculously good and stick all these like speed runs when a new game comes out of them like beating like one of the hardest monsters in the game in like 4 minutes or something by himself. I'm never going to be as good as those guys in a million years. I could play for the next 30 years and I wouldn't be as good as those guys. But I enjoy it. What was the next game on your list?
Atom Fall, which is... I'm struggling to remember what this game is about. So I'm just
gonna, yeah, I was going to say what I think of it. It's Fallout Yorkshire, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, set 5 years after the Windscale nuclear disaster in northern England, apparently according to the blurb, which is interesting. Coming March, 27th of March, 2025. A survival action game inspired by real-life events. Explore fictional quarantine zone, scavenge, craft, barter, fight, and talk your way through a British countryside setting filled with bizarre characters, mysticism, cults, and rogue government agencies. So that's the blurb on the website. But it looks interesting. Definitely. Oh, Rebellion Developments. Let's see what else they've... they made Star Wars Battlefront. Okay. Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron, Star Wars Battlefront Elite Squadron. That's the Battlefront games that they've made.
Oh, okay.
So,
because I know that after, you know, back in the day, the original Star Wars Battlefronts, after the second one, the third one was meant to be made by Free Radical, you know, who did Time Splitters.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they were 99% complete with Star Wars Battlefront 3 when Lucasfilm pulled the plug.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I've seen some quotes from some developers from Free Radical saying about that, to an extent, that possibly like contributed to Free Radical's downfall. Because I think, didn't they do Haze?
Which was Haze, yes.
It was a PS3 exclusive and it bombed.
Yep.
And then not long after that, they got dissolved. That was the end of them. Yep. I think it did get bought out by Crytek. Because I think technically Crytek own the Time Splitters license these days. If you want another Time Splitters game, it'll be them that would make it now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much if you ever sort of played Battlefront back in the day. I'd never really played Masters of it because it was on...
I think I played the second one.
Right. On Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox. Xbox, I think. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
So this developer also made the Sniper Elite games. You've seen
that. Oh, right. So they've got another one coming out very soon, haven't they?
Yeah, same developer. So right. They've got a good pedigree. Because I think I played one of those Sniper Elite games. I can't remember who it's two or three.
I think it's six they're about to release? Because that's on Game Pass day one.
Yeah, five came out a couple of years ago. Right. So I think the... It's either six or there's one there called Sniper Elite Resistance, which hasn't come out yet.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Maybe that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What's the next one on yours then?
Next one on my list is Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition, which
this is the one you sent me the trailer on, which I...
It's a Switch game.
Yeah.
Which apparently has a bigger map than Witcher 3. And this it's a JRPG, it's Monolith Soft, who are what became of the team that was at Square that did Xenogears back in the day, if you ever played that. And Monolith Soft is entirely owned by Nintendo these days. It's 100% owned by Nintendo. So he's technically like a second party now, I guess, because I've got a friend who wanted to play. He saw the recent trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles X and wanted to play it. I was like, is it coming out on Xbox? And I'm like, I wouldn't hold your breath, mate. I don't think it's going to be on Xbox. But it's like a weird, it's got like a, the gameplay is like a, almost like a mixture of turn-based and real-time. In the battles, you can move around and queue up your attacks, but it's not quite real-time. It plays like, you know, like a few MMOs play, except you're playing it by yourself. And you can get mechs. You don't get a mech until about 30 hours in. Mech, you can't fly. You can transform your mech from like a robot to a car and can drive around the map, but you don't get the upgrade to be able to fly until a little bit later. And played it first time around on Wii U and did about 88 hours on it, but didn't quite manage to finish it. And it's got some online missions that you can play in co-op, but you can't play co-op through the whole game. So I think the specific missions that you can play online, you get rewards from them that you then take back into your single player game and use to make upgrades and new armors and such like.
Okay.
But I've seen some of the quality of life stuff that they've introduced with this Switch version is good. the UI on the Wii U version had tiny writing, like trying to see what some of the things said that you needed to be able to see mid-battle was very, very small, and I've not got the best eyesight at the best of times. So they've improved that in this version. So it looks like this version is the version of the game to play if you ever want to play this game.
Cool. I just hope the Switch can handle it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, possibly it'll come out. I'll get annoyed.
I mean, it's a remaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it should be able to. If it was a complete remake, then...
But yeah, hopefully it'll play all right. The Wii U version basically played okay. I think the Wii U version was a 30 frames a second game, and I'm not sure whether that's going to be the same in this new Switch version, or they're going to try and make it run a little bit powerful than the Wii U was. But I know it's got like no fall damage. I remember that. So yep. There's a lot of like, oh, see that mountain? You can run to the top of it, run to the top of the mountain, and then once you get to the top, just jump off, and the fall that would undoubtedly be to your death in real life and in most games just doesn't affect you, you're fine with it.
Next on my list then is the game we're both going to play, probably Elden Ring Night Rain.
Yeah, that was next on my list as well, actually.
Yeah, so obviously both played Elden Ring quite a lot. This is going to be its own thing, isn't it? It's going to be, you're not going to need the actual Elden Ring game to play this, you're going to release it separately.
Yeah, it's standalone, and it's one player or three player, but no two player option. And it's got like roguelite elements to it. I think it's got like a day and night type thing going on, and each day is 15 minutes long. And then when it becomes night, you get a boss. And then at the end of the 3 days, so it's basically 45 minutes per run if you beat all the bosses. And then you get the biggest rewards at the end of the third day after you do the third boss. But then that's you're done, because you can't, I don't think you can take them into your next run. It's just sort of per run sort of thing.
Right, but okay.
I'm not 100% certain. I don't know how much details they've actually given out about this, because it was only announced at the Game Awards in December, wasn't it? And
yep.
It's got a this year release date, but nothing more specific than that.
Nothing more, no. So I'd say it's probably the second half of the year rather than the first half.
So we've not heard yet whether it's going to be the first 6 months of the year or second 6 months of the year, or which quarter it's supposed to be releasing, that kind of thing.
I think everybody's holding back because they don't know, that because Rockstar said GTA 6 will be this year, but they haven't said when. So everybody's like, we don't want to announce our game until we know when GTA 6 is going to be released. Which I think it's going to get delayed anyway, but yeah.
Although I did hear that, I forget what the name of the game is now, but there's some game that was supposed to be coming out the same day as Monster Hunter, and they've actually brought it forward a week. So to not clash with Monster Hunter, which was the first time I've heard about that, of anyone treating Monster Hunter in the same sort of light as a GTA or that kind of thing. But maybe the same sort of genre as Monster Hunter and don't want to cross over to lose sales.
Yeah. What's next on your list?
Next on my list is Metroid Prime 4 Beyond.
Oh, that's on my list as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I will probably play, massively enjoy, and not finish, because I have never finished a Metroid Prime game, even though I've played every single one of them.
Didn't even finish the first one.
No.
How come I managed to finish it and you have?
It's really hard. Like at the end of the game, you've got like two really hard boss battles back to back.
Yeah, they are. Those boss battles. The very end boss battle.
Which is the Metroid Prime, isn't it?
Yeah, which is the Prime. I'm not really spoiling a game that's over 20 years old now, are we? Yeah. But I didn't find that as bad as the previous boss. The previous boss took me ages.
The previous one is the purple dragony thing that's in Super Metroid as well. What's his name?
I can't remember his bloody name.
He's in Smash Bros.
What's
his name?
I know what you mean. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I can't think of it off my head either. But
He was hard. He was a hard boss.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, he's not the end boss. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I didn't find the end boss that bad. I thought the end boss was easier than the actual... So I did manage to finish it, at least.
I don't think I've ever actually got to the end boss. It's that one you're talking about that's harder that I was stuck on. That's the first I've ever got. And that was on the GameCube back in the day.
Yeah.
And the GameCube version has got, like, some crazy control scheme that doesn't control, like, a modern first-person shooter. Not in the slightest. It's got like a crazy lock-on thing going on, and it's not got dual stick control sort of thing. I mean, they've added that in the remaster, haven't they?
Yes, the remaster is really good. I mean, have you got a copy of it?
I have got a copy of the remaster. Yeah.
It's worth playing through again on the Wii, because it works really well with the Switch controls, and it looks really good as well. It's one of the best looking games on the Switch.
I think there's a decent argument to say it is the best looking game on the Switch.
Yeah, it's really good. But I mean, you know, it's more than 20 years old at this point, so I think they made a real good effort at remastering it. Apparently, that those dev diaries that you sent me about Metroid Prime 2 and Metroid Prime 3, it's a lot harder to remaster those games, apparently. I'm hoping that they're going to, though, because I would like to play them. Because Metroid Prime 4, where is it set in the timeline? Is it after 3? It must be after 3, right?
I think it's after 3, yeah.
Right, okay.
Because in one of the trailers, it brings back a character that was in Metroid Prime Hunters. We don't know if you ever played that one, but that's a DS game, like original DS.
I remember
DS.
The DS game. I never played it, but I do remember the game coming out.
And I think they gave away a demo for that with an awful lot of DSs that people played. But the main thing I remember about Metroid Prime Hunters is that you couldn't really play it for very long without it hurting your hands. Because you had to use the stylus on the touchscreen and hold the DS to be able to use the analog, or whatever you call it, the thing that you controlled on the... Yeah,
that sounds really difficult.
Yeah, it was the same sort of deal as if you ever played Kid Icarus on the 3DS, but that hurt your hands as well.
I never played that, but there were certain games on the DS that definitely hurt my hands.
Yeah, DS was not a console made for comfort. It's not particularly ergonomic.
I mean, the Switch can, undocked, can be quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think I got like a little holder for the Switch when I was used to commute on the trains, because I've got quite large hands. It used to cramp my hands a lot. So,
I think there's some third-party Joy-Con equivalents that are supposed to be more ergonomic that make it more comfortable to play if you want to play a lot of portable.
I haven't played the Switch that much portable. I did when I first got it because it was a novelty. I played Breath of the Wild quite a lot handheld. Right. I used to play it at lunch times when I got it. So GTA 6, we've already mentioned it. That's the next game on my list. I'm looking forward to that one. You know, the trailers look awesome. Hopefully it comes out this year. And yeah, we know we've got Grand Theft Auto games alike, but this one looks like it's going to be, hopefully live up to the hype. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really the target audience for this one. I'm in the minority. There's not really fuss about GTA, but I'll be absolutely shocked if it doesn't get delayed into next year.
I'm almost certain it's going to get delayed into the early part of next year. They said 2025. So hopefully it will. But I can see it so easily just sliding into Q1 next year. I really can. But
I think it'll probably be an Easter game for next year. That sounds
right. Rockstar has said this year.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll wait and see if they've announced the delay or not.
What's the next one on your list?
Fable.
Oh, yeah. Fable. Yeah. Was this a reimagining of the first game? Was it completely
separate? It's a soft reboot, so it's not technically Fable 4. And originally, the Fable trilogy was made by Lionhead, now defunct developer. And then this time around, it's Playground Games, who do the Forza Horizon games.
Oh, yeah, this is their first one after doing all the racing games,
first one that's not racing.
Interesting.
And it's got a couple of like motion capped as people in, like, Richard Iadi, or his name is, from It Crowd and stuff like that. And just looks like more Fable, really. If you liked Fable back in the day, you'll probably like this one. It's quite pretty. And it's going to be on Game Pass, we thought, day one. So of the original Fable trilogy, I really loved the second one. The first one, if you try and go back to it, is showing its age these days. You can play the Fable Anniversary to play the first one again, Anniversary Edition, but the control scheme just not aged well at all.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played the Fable games. I played Fable 2. I never played Fable 3.
So Fable 3 I did play, which is the one that is not quite as good as 2. It's the one where you end up as like the king or emperor ruler guy. And it always reminds me of that line from Dark Knight Trilogy about you die the hero or lived long enough to see yourself becoming the villain.
Yeah.
Because you have to make all of these tough decisions that make your subjects hate you, but they don't know why you're making them, like raising all the taxes and stuff like that to try and like stop an attack that's coming, all that kind of stuff. Fable 1 was original Xbox, wasn't it?
It was.
And then Fable 2 and 3 are both 360 era?
Yeah. Fable 2 was really good. I enjoyed Fable 2. Enjoyed playing that game, yeah.
Although my one bugbear with Fable 2, I'm not particularly a dog or cat person that much. I'd never had either of them as a kid because my dad's allergic to cats. Wrong around. My dad was allergic to dogs and I'm allergic to cats.
So blimey.
Most we had rabbits and hamsters and budgies and other doll pets, is that they spend all of this time getting you to build up a relationship with the dog so that by the end of the game, you really love the dog. And then right at the end, again, spoilers for Fable 2, if you've not played it, 15 years old at least by now. But anyway, skip ahead. You right at the end of Fable 2, they make the decision between, you can either save all the people or save your dog.
Yeah.
But if you save your dog, all the people die. And if you save all the people, your dog dies. Which I thought was harsh.
Just me. just me. Make you love it, and then, you know, you have to kill the dog.
I think I chose the save the people option. And then your dog dies, and I was like, oh. Like
That's Peter Molyneux's influence there.
Meanie. Have you got any more left?
Just one. Ghost of Yotai.
All right, yeah.
So follow-up to Ghost of Tsushima, which I don't... You played a bit of, didn't you? You didn't play much of it.
I have. I've played maybe 4 or 5 hours. I didn't dislike it. I enjoyed the game. It does sort of suffer a little bit from your open world.
Open world, yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, it was came along at the right time for me. I was into it. I liked the character, Jin. I liked the exploration, liked the combat. And they Sucker Punch really good at making those kinds of games. They made all the infamous games. And this one was really good as well. They supported it a lot after launch as well. They added things to it. There was a whole DLC on another island. There was like a battle mode that you could go in. There was all sorts of stuff in it. So looking forward to this follow-up, which is set like 300 years later after the first one, I read.
I thought it was 200. Was it 300?
Yeah, no, it's 300, yeah. I thought it was 200, but I went back and looked. It's 300.
Yin was quite a well-loved character, like you alluded to then, and I do wonder if people are going to be bothered about the fact that you don't really get to carry on his story because it's moving on so much further in time. I guess we'll see. If it comes out and it's awesome, I'm sure people won't give up monkeys, but...
No, I mean, I'll play it no matter what. Hopefully it doesn't get delayed and it will come out this year. I think they've just said... I don't think there is a release date for it. I think they've just said 2025, but again... Everyone's waiting for Rockstar to drop the release date for GTA 6.
I mean, it's a PS5 exclusive, isn't it? There won't be an Xbox or PC version.
Yes, I think there is a PC version of Ghost of Tsushima now.
Yeah.
So it probably will come to PC at some stage. But yeah, it's exclusive to PS5.
Ghost of Tsushima was PS4 as well.
It was, yeah.
But I'm guessing Ghost of Yotai will just be PS5.
PS5 only, yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, you know. I mean, the PS4 came out in November 2013, so old for a console now. It's almost retro.
I was reading somewhere that I think there was like 8 PS4 games that were scheduled for release last year. I've not seen how many are scheduled for release in 2025, but I can't imagine it was massive.
No.
Probably FIFA. Many. Yeah, it'd be like FIFA, Just Dance... if Guitar Hero was still a thing, that would probably come out on it. Well, I've got one more.
Yep.
Which you were alluding to a little bit earlier on, which is Judas, the Ken Levine game, which is like a spiritual successor to Bioshock.
Yeah, cool.
And I think it's a timed exclusive on PS5.
Yep.
And if you watch the trailer for it, it literally just looks like Bioshock to me.
It's very Bioshocky, isn't it? It's very like using your hands. You see the hands a lot and the powers and stuff.
Plasmid, they're probably not called plasmids this time around, but it's basically the same sort of thing. It's like electricity, fire, ice, such like. Whether there's a turn your arm into bees again this time, we'll wait and see. But loved the Bioshock games back in the day. First one, especially. Second one wasn't Ken Levine's, I wasn't much of a fan anyway. The third one, it's all right, it goes off the rails a little bit, like plot wise, halfway through. And possibly was a little bit disappointing compared to all the stuff they were showing off about it before it came out.
Yeah,
it wasn't exactly the same as that.
That's one of the rare games I played on PC, Bioshock Infinite. I've not played it on the console, played it on PC. And I've not played it since I played it when it came out, and I've not played it since. I've actually got the remastered version of it on PS5, or PS4 version, and then I've not actually played it. I might fire it up and see what I remember about it.
Yeah. I mean, considering that Infinite is basically an escort mission for the whole game, pretty much, They managed to make the AI decent for, what's her name, is it Elizabeth?
Something like that.
Yeah. They make the AI decent enough that she like finds you ammo and health and stuff like that, and she doesn't tend to get in the way or die all of the time. So fair play to them for that.
It was a decent, it wasn't the same as the first Bioshock, really.
No, I mean, but what was, really? Yeah,
true. Bioshock was like a revelation when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I've got the platinum for it, of course, on PS4.
Oh, nice. I do not. I mean, would you kindly?
Yes.
It's not really the same as your platinum, but my only sort of claim to fame-ish with Bioshock is I've done it on, what's the difficulty mode called? It's the one where you don't get to use the...
what were they called? The chambers,
the
retro chambers, whatever they were called. Yeah, where you basically revive yourself, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get to use them. And you have to, I think it's like beat it on hard with them turned off.
Wow.
So when I was first trying it, I thought that would mean that you have to do the whole game without dying.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it's not quite that bad. It does have checkpoints where the game auto saves.
Yes.
So all it means is instead of reviving one of the tanks like you would do normally, you just go back to your last checkpoint, which could be however longer. And so it definitely wasn't easy, but you know, I got there in the end. I think Infinite's got a 1995 mode, which is sort of similar sort of stipulations and then like not using the tank sort of thing. I've never done 995 mode in Infinite.
I've never done games like that where the only game I can compare that to where you kind of die and go back to a checkpoint and have to do a load of the game again was Returnal on PS5.
All right. So there was a lot of hype about that. I didn't play it.
I got the platinum for that, which is ridiculous. You know why I got the platinum for that? Because it came out just as COVID hit. So I had nothing. I had nothing else to do. I literally had nothing else to do. So I thought, well, I might as well just play this game and go for the platinum.
Mm.
I mean, like 125 hours to get the platinum, because the premise of Return, Liz, if you haven't played it, is when you die, you go back to the beginning of the game.
Right. Wow.
And it's basically what they call a bullet hell shooter. That's what the game is. But you're from a third person perspective, and there is a checkpoint halfway through the game, actually. So when you die, you only go back to like halfway through the game instead of back to the beginning, the very beginning of the game.
Right, but I'm trying to think, didn't they like add that in later or something? Wasn't it not at launch or something like that?
No, it was from launch. Yeah, from launch. Okay. You got halfway through the game and it checkpointed you. So there's six chapters, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And when you make it to chapter 4, when you die, you go back to the beginning of chapter 4 instead of back to being chapter 1.
Okay, well, that's cool. I'm trying to think, there was definitely something added in, wasn't it? I think at one point, if your PS5 went into rest mode, it kicked you back to the beginning of the game.
That's right.
Later on, they patched it to stop that from happening.
Yeah, that's right. They did that. They did make it a bit different. But basically, if you wanted to get a platinum, because it's procedurally generated, then the rooms are different patterns every time. And the collectibles only appeared on certain runs. Like, you could make your way through the entire game and not get the collectible that you want. So you'd have to go back and go back and go back and go back. That's why it's called Returnal.
Yeah, because it's a roguelike, basically, isn't it? But it's kind of influenced by Metroid.
Exactly. It's the one and only roguelike I've ever really played and completed and got the platinum for. It's not something I recommend, as in going for the platinum, because you have to have a lot of time in your hands. And I did. So that's why I did it.
Well, at least lockdown was good for one thing.
Playing games, for sure. I played through the entirety of Persona 5 as well in lockdown.
Right. Turn-based is not my thing.
Yeah, I like Persona games. Well, I played Persona 5 and Persona 5 Royal. I've had a little go on Persona 4. I want to play the Persona 3, but it's so time-consuming, you just don't play anything else.
Yeah, they've got a game that's come out released recently with a really hard-pronounced name.
Oh, Metro Phantasmia, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's the one. And it got Game of the Year from... But again, because it's turn-based as fuck, it's never going to be my thing, so...
No, fair enough.
I mean, I do dabble from time to time. Like, I tried to see if I could get on with, like... What was the most recent... Weirdly, like, the two most recent turn-based games I tried and was like, I still got like 4 hours in and was like, no, still don't like this, was Mario RPG, the remaster of the Super Nintendo game that never released in Europe, by the way. Mario RPG was US and Japan only. We never got it over here.
All right. I remember
back in the day being annoyed at that because I didn't really know they didn't like turn-based games back then. All I did was read my Nintendo magazines over and over again, and it was all over those for a while. I was like, oh, by the way, we're not getting it. I'm like, oh.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Nintendo Japan and Nintendo US.
Or Nintendo of Europe, but decided not to bring it over here. And the other one I tried more recently was the Paper Mario, what's the GameCube version? Thousand Year Door?
Yeah.
And there's a bit of hoo-ha about the fact that that was 60 frames a second on the original GameCube version, and the Switch remaster is only 30 frames a second. But I'm not really sure that kind of game really matters if you can't play it.
Not really.
But anyway, I tried that for about, like I say, about 4 hours and was like, still not for me. Ended up giving it away to a friend who I know likes that kind of games. So are we moving on to next segment?
Yeah, I think so. So is this genres we like that have died off mainly?
Yeah.
And this week we've got side-scrolling beat-em-ups. So I'll go back to the very first one I played, which was Renegade on the Amstrad CPC, where you could punch men to death and blood would pour out of their heads. I played
the NES version, which I'm sure was censored because I don't remember any of the blood pouring out on the NES version.
I'm pretty sure it did on the Amstrad version, which was the most, I think it was better graphics than the Spectrum and Commodore 64. So you can see the blood like pouring out of their heads, and it was very controversial at the time. This game should be banned. Like, why? It's just a game. But anyway. But yeah, that was, I think it was a decent game. There was a follow-up as well. I can't remember what it was called, though.
No, I don't know. A River City Ransom, is that it?
Could be.
So I was playing Double Dragon around that sort of time. But again, this is still my days when I was NES. I was very much Nintendo blinkers for a long time. Double Dragon 1 on the NES is only one player. Because I had a mate, a lot of my friends with Sega at school, mate had the Master System version, and he would rub it in my face that when we were on to his, we could both play at the same time, because Master System version actually did have co-op like the arcade original.
Yeah.
But my NES version didn't. We had to take turns on the NES version. And then they eventually released Double Dragon 2 on the NES, and that did have co-op, but was very different from the arcade game. It had like some added in platforms and stuff like that. And then when it was all like Super Nintendo versus Mega Drive days, I was playing Final Fight and my friends were playing Streets of Rage.
Right.
And then eventually was playing Turtles in Time, which was probably my favorite ever, sort of back in the day. I've jumped into your Renegade bit a bit.
That's okay. There's not much to say about Renegade. Other than you side-scrolling, move on from one place to the next, beat the crap out of people, done.
Yeah.
I mean, Double Dragon, I did play the arcade version. I don't think I played a home console version, maybe on the Master System. I might have gone around somebody's house to play it because I didn't have a Master System myself. But I definitely remember playing the arcade version.
So Double Dragon 3 was even harder than the second game. And from what I remember, it's the first, the arcade game of Double Dragon 3 is the first sort of game I remember having basically had microtransactions, because you could buy like health and some like upgrade things for your character in
That's
a little
crazy,
shop in
you
the game.
Buy health.
We're putting more real money in, which is, it's mad crazy. And I remember a friend of mine got the NES version of 3, and it was just still just as hard on the NES, but obviously didn't have the microtransaction thing going on. And it didn't take us very long to sack Double Dragon 3 off and go back to 2 again. Although, because we were like, 7, we were playing Double Dragon 2 on easy, and it would get to a certain point and the game would just stop. And we were like, well, we finished it then. I'm just really confused, not realizing until years later that you have to play it on a higher difficulty to get to the end of the game.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? We completed it, but it just freezes. Now you have to play it on the highest difficulty level.
Right. I just went to a black screen and then went back to the title screen, and we were like, I guess we're finished.
Yes, that's the end of the game then.
Yeah. And then so for the Turtles games, like I've recently gone back to the Cowabunga collection, which has got 13 Retro Turtles games on it.
Wow.
Mainly, I mean, it's got some of the arcade versions as well, but like mainly sort of your 8 and 16 bit, like, you know, NES, SNES, Mega Drive, stuff like that on it. And I actually managed to finish all 13 games and got all 1,000 achievement points. I have to admit, for the actual original NES game, if you ever played that back in the day, and also the Game Boy games, I did sort of cheat a little bit to get the achievement, but never mind. Those games are so ridiculously hard and have not aged well. They're like, I think there's a decent argument that 8-bit has dated a lot worse than 16-bit.
I would say that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
So thankfully, the games in the collection have a watch option where you can watch the developers play through an entire playthrough of the game.
And you can then
jump in whenever you like on their playthrough. So
wow, that's really cool.
You can fast forward it to get to right to near the end, wait till they get the last boss down to like minuscule health, then jump in, press start, save it, come back out from there, because if you don't come back out, it doesn't work. Then go back into a new game, click load your save. He's save scumming, really. And then, you know, get you one or two hits on the last boss to kill him off, and then that's game completed. Here's your chivo.
Nice one. Why not? If it's available to you, then why the hell not?
Well, yeah, I mean, for that original NES game and the three Game Boy games, I'm never finishing them the proper way around these days. I mean, one of them is a Metroidvania, one of the Game Boy games. I think, is it Turtles 3? Like, you play as Michelangelo, and the rest of the Turtles have been kidnapped, and you have to rescue each of them in whichever order you want. And then once you've rescued one, you then got like two lives because you've got two turtles. So you have to choose which one to rescue, that kind of thing.
Interesting game for a Game Boy game.
Yeah, it is, considering the Game Boy was about as powerful as a calculator.
Yeah. I played three games on that console. There were four games, I think it was. It was the original Tetris.
Yeah.
The original Super Mario Land.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Oh, right, cool.
And Gremlins 2.
Aha, nice.
So Terminator 2 had this like weird mini game where you had to reprogram the T-800 Terminator.
All right.
And it was like a little Pipe Mania clone where you had to reorganize
a circuitry. Yeah, like a little like a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Was this Terminator 2 the arcade game port for the Game Boy, or was this like
No, it was the other one. It was the other one, right. Yeah. It was a side-scrolling shoot 'em up with
basically puzzles. The game of the film on
Pretty
the
much.
Game Boy. Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good games on the Game Boy.
Yeah, like...
Game Boy Advance as well.
Right, yeah. So Game Boy Advance is basically a portable Super Nintendo.
Pretty much.
So on the original Game Boy, there's like, you can, if you're into like gaming documentaries, there's a guy called Gaming Historian on YouTube who's worth a go. And he's got a great one on the story of Tetris that he did before the Tetris movie came out that tells basically the same sort of story, but with less added in stuff, like, because the movie's got a bunch of stuff added in that didn't happen in real life to try and make, you know, try and movie it up, try and Hollywood it. And the guy who, I think his name's Hank Rogers, who got the rights for Nintendo, like for the West. When Nintendo, he was already working closely with Nintendo. He had his own like software company and things like that. And they showed him the Game Boy, like before it was released. And I think Nintendo were originally intending on bundling Super Mario Land that you mentioned with the Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed him Tetris, or he showed them Tetris, should say, when he got the rights to it and things like that. And when he's trying to give them opinions about what to release with the Game Boy, he was saying that if you release the Game Boy with Super Mario Land, it'll be for little boys. If you release Tetris with Game Boy, it'll be for everyone.
Yeah. Good decision.
Yeah. Like, I think Tetris is one of the, like, the biggest selling games ever.
It's crazy. I remember when it came out on the Game Boy and everybody was like, oh my God, you have to play this. And I did for quite a while.
Mm. My dad was so good at Tetris, he would pinch my Game Boy off me and I wouldn't get it back off him for ages because he was so busy getting all the top scores. And he'd always show me when he finished it, and you get a little rocket and stuff like that.
Yeah, my sister finished it multiple times. Like,
yeah, I was never that good to get the little rocket myself.
Yeah.
Super Mario Land is decent, if a bit short.
Yeah, it's a short game.
I think it's like an hour.
Yeah, it's not long at all. If you speedrun it, it's not long at all. But when you were playing it back in the day, because you didn't have to start the game from the beginning every time. I can't remember. I think you did,
yeah.
Yeah. So if you sat down and played it and just played it through, then you'd be fine. But if you switched it off, you'd just start from the beginning again.
It kind of feels like it's not a Mario game, really, because so much of it is different. Like,
it's different, yeah.
Extra lives are hearts instead of the green mushroom, because everything was green on the Game Boy. How do you show players that that's an extra life mushroom?
Yeah,
if everything's green anyway.
Yeah, I think Super Mario Land 2 was more like your traditional type of Mario game.
So Super Mario Land 2 was what I got with my Game Boy. Well, obviously as well as Tetris, you know, you got Tetris as you pack in. But I got my Game Boy for my birthday. I think it was my 12th birthday, and like 93, something like that, and my birthday, luckily for me, was on a weekend that year, and my mum came in on like, I think it was like either the Sunday or the Monday night, and was like, why aren't you playing with your new toy? And I was like, well, finished it. And she was like, what, you know how much that cost me?
She must have been gutted. Why have I bought this and you finished it? You should have just said I've finished it for now.
Yeah, I wasn't clever enough to think of that. So, like, it took me like a day and a half to finish it. But yeah, Super Mario Land 2 is not the biggest game. It was released after Mario World, so it, like you say, it's a lot closer to your sort of standard sort of Mario games. But it's not the biggest or hardest of the Mario games.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Mario Land 3 was Wario Land.
Wario Land, yeah.
Hmm.
And then it was Wario Land 2 and Wario Land 3?
Yeah, I think they did, yeah. Because the reason for that was that Wario was introduced in Mario Land 2 as the last boss, and then got his own game. And I think so, right, I'm trying to remember this a long time ago. I think Wario Land 2 was Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
And I think Wario Land 3 was Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, so because I think I played... No, I did play Wario Land 2 and 3. I remember playing those, yeah.
Right. I think I only played the original Wario Land of those ones.
Mm. Right. Yeah,
we've digressed.
I think we've wrapped up, haven't we?
Quite different from side-scrolling beat-em-ups. But yes, for side-scrolling beat-em-ups, I was going to say, to wrap up with that, was that these days, your only ones that get released are things like your Streets of Rage 4, Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which is very much influenced by the original Turtles arcade game, and Turtles in Time. And then you also had the Scott Pilgrim game that released and then was taken out of the stores by Ubisoft, so you couldn't buy it for a little while. You had to have it already on your console. You couldn't re-download it. And then they eventually relented and released a remaster of that one, which included physical editions as long as you got them from Limited Run.
Yeah.
So they don't really release sort of new side-scrolling beat-em-ups these days. You don't really tend to... I guess you might get some indie games that are of that genre, but they're still harkening back to people that loved those sort of games back in the day. But yeah, I think is that for this? That's a particular segment?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So are we got to about the end?
I think we got to the end of the episode, yeah.
So if you want to find us on social media, where can people find you, Matt?
So you can get me at MattLeach1 on Blue Sky, or you can get me at MattLeach26 on Instagram. They're the two easiest ways to contact me if you want to, or have a look at the rubbish that I post on there. Not that I post that much these days, less than I used to. I've still got a Twitter account or X account, whatever you want to call it, but I don't look at it anymore. I haven't looked at it for weeks. It's just a
Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't actually deleted the app yet, but I might as well, because it's just turned into a right wing, horrible place to be if you want to go on there anymore. But anyway, Where can they find you? What are your handles?
I am J Monster on Blue Sky and J underscore Monster on Instagram. And we will have the we'll set up some ones to do with the pod, some two guys, three consoles handles as well.
Yeah, work in progress.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll set an Instagram up and maybe I've done about Facebook, but maybe Instagram and Blue Sky, that'll probably be the two easiest ones to find to set it up when we do set it up.
But yeah, thanks very much to everyone for listening. And we'll hopefully be back at some point, maybe next week or something like that.
Yeah, hopefully this will become a regular recording podcast with me and Jeremy. And we shall see you on the next episode. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye, everyone.